stereotypical attitudes and gender bias has for long affected women. And women are part of the nation. Women are citizens. And it's very important that their participation is recognized in all spheres of national development. However, it gets affected due to this stereotypical attitudes and gender bias. So in South Sudan, numerous engagements reveal that South Sudanese women still are underrepresented, and more efforts are required to ensure their meaningful participation in peace and political processes, as well as decision making. Yes, and not just in the house level. Yes, I know most people say the woman's place is in the house. No, but at all levels, community, the house. Yeah. And so joining me this morning is Miss Sarah James, who's the Executive Director, Support for Women in Governance. And we shall be speaking about an event that took place recently where more than 50 women, 50 participants came together for a two-day national workshop on the roles of journalists, lawyers, human rights defenders to enhance women's participation in political and peace processes in South Sudan. Good morning, Sarah James, and you're very welcome.
Morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's begin with what motivated the hosting of this two-day workshop. Shed more light on it. What exactly is behind the event?
Okay, thank you so much. In the first place, happy International Peace Day to our people, South Sudanese. We women, we are also searching for peace, and I wish every South Sudanese have a peace and can mm-hmm. move and happy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I would like to first and foremost to thank NMIS, the gender unit, for conducting this 2 days workshop facilitated by a South Sudanese. And a couple of issues were discussed during the period. Yeah, the issues that hiding women from participation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the 35% affirmative action. And we women, we've been advocating for more participation, for meaningful participation for the women. And then the workshop bring us together as a network of journalists and lawyers and human rights defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, that we have many things hiding us, and stereotypes, discriminating social norms. This is actually an gender issues actually hindering us from participating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this led to this workshop. Who came? Was it just women, or you had some men come in?
We have some men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have 50 women. Then we have 15 men.
Okay.
Also participate, because you know we women, we need also to get men views about women issues.
Yeah.
Sometimes we expected men to address our issues,
mm-hmm.
but
it doesn't. So we need to engage them.
We need to engage them.
Okay.
We are partners
now. Let me first come down to what you mentioned earlier, the 35%. I mean, that was like a benchmark to start with, and I know it can even go beyond that, but what would you say is the current level of women participation in national matters, even with the 35% affirmative action having been put in place?
The 35% affirmative action, actually, we have not reached that. Yeah, we are under presentation. That's why we actually engage in the national workshop to go down and to discuss what is the problem. Actually preventing us, what are the challenges, the bias that actually facing us and offending us from participating in public life and our constitution, because it is our rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is our rights to participate in public life.
Mm. Okay, and so yes, so definitely. That is something very important, and so what were some of the suggestions? What problems did you find that is making us not reach even the little 35%?
We have identified so many barriers. For example, lack of information, awareness raising on women rights, and then there is a wider generation gap. And many things.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. That is Sarah James, Executive Director, Support for Women in Governance. And Adut just joined us, Executive Director for Federation for Women Lawyers. Good morning, Adut. Thank you for making the time to come for this discussion. So this question is going to you, Adut. When it comes to women in the... when it comes to women representation, we were just talking about the 35%. What are some of those things that are actually causing us not to reach that level?
Okay, thank you, and good morning to you in the studio, and good morning to all the listeners of Radio Miraya. I think some of the elements that contributed to lack of women representation in decision-making or in public institutions... One of them may be lack of knowledge. As she shared, some women are not aware on how to get into those positions. So people lack awareness. Also, in South Sudan, people are being employed to political positions based on your affiliation to any of the political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Few women join political parties. So this is one of the issues. The other issues could be lack of political will and also lack of education, because it's not about the number being represented in the government, but it's about having a meaningful participation. So even if the 35% have been achieved or 40%, and those women in those positions are not doing their work, or they are not functioning, or they are being represented, their decisions are being made by other male who shared with them the same positions, then still women are not well represented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So okay. It's many things together.
Yeah. And according to you...
Let me add also.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say the negative attitude of men toward women,
mm-hmm.
and the society around us is dominated by men.
Okay, it's making it harder, mm-hmm.
harder
for women
us.
To be involved.
Yeah.
All right.
Other challenge could be also women themselves. Sometimes we, the women, are a problem to our own progress,
uh-huh.
where you find women are not working in collaboration.
With each other.
With each other. Women who have already made it are not working hard to bring closer other women who are still on the way. And then the women who did not make it, they work hard to pull her down, you know, to pull those who have already made it. You know, we tear each other. We, the women, have not learned. I always share this whenever I'm addressing women. I always tell them, let's learn to clap for each other. Let's learn to fix each other's crown. You know, if we work in harmony and in solidarity, we become stronger. And then even the 35% cannot be a big problem to us.
Yeah.
You know, because we already know how... Who is weak in which area, and then we support them, you know?
And so
instead
would you
of
say,
pulling down the stronger ones,
yeah.
and then we end up with no representation.
So would you say that we actually have the potential to represent 35% and more, if not for these challenges?
Yes, yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And let me come back to you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important to have women participate in national issues? Why is it important? I mean, our culture says the place for women is in the home. Yani mahal tamara debes bibet kedaino iyal ukede kasoluino gumashat kede akilu rajil to. But then, why is it important to bring the woman out of that house context into the community, into the government, into private institutions to also contribute to national growth?
Women constituted half of the population in any country, and therefore they have the right to constitute half of the decision making body by electing women. And women, they are the one who actually near to the community. And women, they are multitask. They can do many things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to add to that, Adut?
Yeah. Thanks also for bringing to our attention this issue of culture.
Mm-hmm.
We consider it as it is already a number one, you know,
challenge.
That's why we don't talk about it.
It is, you know, constant.
Yeah. The matter of fact, you know, the right place for the woman is at home. Even in the house, you are supposed to be in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, not in the
sitting room with men, you know?
Yes.
So this is something that is permanent, and it has been contributing to our lack of many things, education, lack of pursuing our potentials
mm-hmm.
for many years, you know, since our great-grandmothers and our mothers also
up to now
have not gone to schools because they were told that once you grow up you are supposed to get married so that you bring
that's
us
the only life
source
goal.
Of income, which is the dowry, you know.
Yeah
But then it is very important and it's necessary, as Mama Sarah said, because women constitute half of the community, you know, and a community can go nowhere without both contributions, you
mm-hmm.
know. Women they do a lot, and they are like they are caretakers, you know, and they are so committed to their work when it comes to housework.
Mm-hmm.
If they bring that commitment into offices, then we will have a different institutions mm-hmm. in the country, you know.
Yes, yes.
When a woman decides to do something, she will do it to the best of her knowledge, you know. Also, we do not have this sense of it's. It might be there, but it's not like when like what men has, the corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Women are not that corrupt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because if you are to take care, you will take care of your either your parents or your family.
Mm-hmm.
But men in our society, they take care of so many things, you know, so many families,
what are some of those
so
things?
Many houses,
okay.
having so many wives. You know, girlfriends, you know. So this forced them to, you know, like try as much as possible to grab from the public money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be honest. So women are committed. Once they decide to do something, if they have the knowledge, we are so powerful.
Okay.
If you have the knowledge and then the commitment, and we are multitaskers. This has been proven scientifically. You know,
okay.
A woman can do many things at a go. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so coming back to the purpose of the 2-day workshop, it's on the role of journalists, lawyers, and human rights defenders to enhance women's participation in political and peace processes in South Sudan. And so, in regards to this this purpose, when you ask the question, what role can journalists, lawyers, and human rights defenders, these are the stakeholders you identified for this particular workshop, what role can they play to make sure that more women are participating in national issues? Sarah?
First of all, women, we women, we can advocate for laws and then policies that support our women.
Mm-hmm.
And we can conduct meeting and training to our women to identify issues, commit to the issues, to articulate issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because our problem is articulating issues.
Yes.
Sometimes we can go deeper to actually address women issues. And then we have also to create a space. Yeah, a space where all of us are equal.
Mm-hmm.
All of us can contribute. And women and men, they have resources
mm-hmm.
and experiences. And sometimes it's need for the women to be in political parties. And we have done this because we have also to dialogue with other political parties because the political parties are very important, because they are the one who can appoint women, and they are the one who can increase women participation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Do you have something to add, especially from the justice side? How can women be, you know, participatory? Yes.
Yeah, we've come up with so many outcomes during the workshop, and we've agreed that female journalists would do profiling of women's stories to encourage and, you know, and empower other women.
Mm-hmm.
And also create exclusive space for women in media through providing toll-free and specific columns, sponsor programs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've also agreed that female lawyers will encourage other female lawyers and women to join political parties, because we have realized that people come to power through political parties, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And,
yeah,
and
another thing is that women, female lawyers should join the permanent constitution making process to ensure that the permanent constitution is gender sensitive, where women issues are addressed. We've also agreed that female lawyers will conduct press releases and engage with the ministries like Ministry of Gender, Ministry of Justice, you know, and parliament committees to address delay issues in regards to some of the legal frameworks that have not been enacted yet.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the anti-GBV bill that mm-hmm. is still hanging at the Ministry of Justice, and FIDA is already doing a follow-up on that. Issues like the family law, which FIDA is also soon joining the drafting committee.
Yes.
And we are participating. We've been part of it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still going to increase our efforts and ensure that we have a family law that address family issues.
Okay.
At all for different cultures and tribes, you know. Mm-hmm. A uniform family law. And then we've also agreed that there should be monitoring to encourage young women to join political parties and join political dialogues, meetings, among others. And then public speaking sessions and confidence, because this is one of the things that we really lack.
Mm-hmm.
We do have knowledgeable people who have made it to a certain level of education.
Yes.
And professional females who are working like for female lawyers, but they lack capacity building and self-confidence, you know. And one of the reasons, as I shared the other time when we're having a radio talk show here, is the language, you know.
Yes.
We come from different cultures. We have people who studied in East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They know English, but they don't know Arabic. We have people who studied in Arabic in Sudan, but they don't have the English yet. The constitution, the official language in the country is English.
Yes.
So this one places some lack of confidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people have the power, but they need to be empowered.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, addition to that,
yes,
I just want to deliberate a bit on human rights defenders.
Uh-huh. How do they come in?
Yeah. The human rights defenders, how they can, they actually come up with a strategy. Yeah, effective leadership, mentoring to encourage young women to join political parties. As she mentioned, I do mention that this is the time actually to encourage women, young women, to participate in political parties, make a decision, and then they can actually benefit from the political parties. As I mentioned before, political parties help. Their role is actually to make appointment. Mm-hmm. Their role to increase women participation. Political dialogue, meeting among women. Because we have seen there is a wider generation gap, and bringing women from the higher level
mm-hmm.
to down here is very, there is a gap.
Yes.
This gap, it need to be refilled. This gap is good. We are working to bring them together to actually unite, because it's creating disunity. Capacity enhancement, public speaking, self-confidence. Self-confidence does have the of the work for you. If you have been training in public speaking, you can stand up, you can discuss, you can contribute to the women issues in South Sudan.
Yes. All right. That's actually very, very, very important, because then I think that is the biggest problem as far as joining the governance, which is the becoming a minister or whatever. You need to come through political parties.
Yes.
At this stage.
Yes.
And it's very important for you to start from a younger stage so that you know how the system works. All right. And so when it comes to the justice system, especially when it comes to protecting innocent citizens, this is now going to you, Adut. How would you say you're confident that the system will be fair as far as representing and protecting women? Because that is also one of the issues that we are facing as a country. More and more women are being affected because they're not being protected. And if they can't be protected, then how can they participate in the national issues? Go ahead, Adut.
Well, the only way to ensure accurate justice system is through judicial reform that has been stipulated by the agreement. Rather than that, it wouldn't be possible. Women will continue to suffer. So I therefore call for the government to prioritize judicial reform.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot need to be done in the judiciary.
Okay.
And the justice institution. You know, there has to be more trainings and a lot of things need to be corrected so that we can have, like, for example, now the special court of GBV is not operating.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really a challenge for sexual and gender-based violence cases and juvenile cases. And the cases are still pending. Looking into the judiciary itself, the Court of Appeal is not operating. It's not operational for now, because according to them, the circuit is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only court that can look into constitutional cases.
Okay.
So when you talk of... if you talk of having cases, I mean constitutional cases, things to do with the lack of implementation of the peace agreement, things to do with violating the constitution, women's rights, you know, they can't be looked into now because the court is not operational. So the only way out is to reform the judiciary.
Okay.
And that's what we have been calling for whenever we go on air or whenever we're having a press release. We call for the reformation of the judiciary and other legal institutions. We call for enactment of laws.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so far, that's the most you can do now.
Yeah.
Until happens.
But we do also conduct trainings. Like, mm-hmm. by the end of this week, FIDA is planning to conduct training for... gender desk officers in all the police stations.
Okay.
You know, we would like to train them on GBV and the consequences that may result when a survivor of GBV is discouraged from seeking justice, you know.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. And that seems to be happening a lot, but then we'll talk about that in detail some other time. And now moving on to journalists, Aya Irene has just joined us, the Principal Association for Media Development in South Sudan. And she's also a member, Female Journalist Network. So, Irene, we've already talked about a lot. We've talked about the event and why it's important for women to support each other in order to build more participation. So my question to you now is, we have women in journalism who are actually facing all kinds of discrimination. We've had stories and cases of harassment, and then there's obviously the fear of being arrested. So how can women be more confident in performing their duties as journalists, just as journalists, and then, you know, continue to support women participation as well?
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to the people out there, especially women journalists. Confidence is something that is, first of all, it is inbuilt in you as a person. We all know that the environment for the media in South Sudan, just like in any other country in Africa or even abroad, it's not an easy environment. It's full of intimidation, it's full of harassment and all sort of issues that are in the media industry. So for anybody who willingly came to join the media industry, that means that that person actually has the passion to work as a journalist. And for that reason, that confidence is already there. But as Female Journalist Network, we thought of coming together as female journalists to kind of network among ourselves, encourage each other, support ourselves, and give ourselves training. And the training that we have been lacking in the media industry, because we all know that the media is more dominant by male counterpart.
Yes.
And female journalists find themselves in the, you know, it's very squeezed in the corner. So by us coming together as female journalists, we see the number that, you know, when you come together, you see that at least you are not alone. You have your sisters with you in the same field, and they are doing the job, although people look at it like a very difficult job. But when you see yourself together, you encourage yourself, you support one another, that is the kind of confidence that we really have. It is not something easy, but by us coming together, we can make it. And also now, the fact that we have started also, you know, having that linkages with other women from other sectors. Like now, the workshop that we did last week, it brought together women from civil society organization, women from the legal fraternity. So it kind of build a strong connection whereby, you know, the issues that affect women in journalism is the same as issues that affect women in other sectors.
Okay.
They also face the same challenges from the experience we learned last week. So when we come together, we share our experience, we see that, yes, we are not alone in the challenges, but we have to be together to work together in order to raise the voices of women, which has been really lacking.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And now, as we are almost concluding, I'm going to ask each of you a question. I'll start with you, Aya, on journalists. You had some recommendations from the workshop, and one of them is to make sure that journalists, especially the female ones, need to start profiling other women, telling stories of women, so to raise them up, you know, and make them be recognized. How are you going to follow up on this to make sure that this happens? What is your plan to monitor the implementation of some of those recommendations regarding the journalists?
We have already started profiling women leaders, women in various sectors. We have already started doing it, although it is very challenging. You know, now the issue in South Sudan is access to information and freedom of expression. There are some people who are still scared even to talk to the media, and they are scared to share their stories with journalists because they feel that they can be intimidated, or, you know, those stories are not yet good enough.
Maybe lose their positions.
Yes, they are not yet good enough to be shared. Women went through a lot of problems.
Yes.
And many of them, when they share their stories, sometimes even they call and say, no, I don't need this story to be run.
After sharing.
Yes, after sharing. So this is a challenge that we are now facing as female journalists. But women have been also complaining that their voices are lacking in the media, lacking everywhere. So they want their voices to be heard. So, and we are there. We are ready, actually, through this profiling of women leaders. We really want to amplify the voices of women that have been lacking for so long.
Okay.
But we also need support from women themselves, mm-hmm. to help us
and
voice their concern, to be open, to share those stories that they think they are really not good to be heard.
Okay.
We have already had women who have shared their stories, and those stories are already inspiring so many people. And we have encouraged many to come in and share.
Okay.
So another recommendation that we gave as media that we are going to do is to create more programs for women, mm-hmm. programs that are targeting women and that are open to women. And we believe that we are going to talk to media houses to do that, to create programs that women can come, even like program like this one, where women can come and talk to themselves and talk to each other outside there.
Okay.
So those are the kind of programs that we want to create, not only in Juba, of course, because we know a lot of programs happen in Juba, but what about women deep down in the village?
Let me ask you, is Female Journalist Network as well outside Juba, or how is the network?
Female Journalist Network is a network. We have women, female journalists outside Juba, everywhere.
So all over South Sudan.
So all over South Sudan,
okay.
We have.
Thank you
presence.
Very much.
Yes.
Thanks, Irene there. And coming to you now, Sarah James, talking about encouraging young women to join political parties. How do you plan to do that? Your organization is supporting women in governance, so that would fall in your space. So how will you monitor the implementation of that action plan?
Okay, thank you so much. We have started, as I mentioned to you before, we've been having dialogue with political parties, because political parties has the role to appoint women in several position.
Mm-hmm.
Political parties also has the role to increase women participation. This is not the first time we've been doing that, but this time we are going to identify the young women who actually working for the civil society and encourage them to join political parties. And also one of the is a capacity building. We have to create that training for self-confidence, self-care,
mm-hmm.
yeah, for the young women. Because
okay.
some of them, they fear, even sometimes when they called by the journalists for interviews, they are dodging. Yeah, but if they have confidence, they can stand, they can talk, and they can help to address the women issues in South Sudan.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Coming to you now, Adut, where do the lawyers come in, and how do you plan to follow up on that action?
Well, AFIDA is a network that is that consists of all the female lawyers, judges, legal counsels, and women advocates, including the students, the final students,
mm-hmm.
in
who are studying law.
Yes.
Okay.
Students of law,
mm-hmm.
and even in the workshop, we've invited some of them,
mm-hmm.
as FIDA members.
Okay.
So we have the membership already, the membership list that that brings together all these female lawyers, and we do meetings. So we do have a group, a WhatsApp group, where all the FIDA members are in, where we share experiences and mm-hmm. informations.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. So this is a way we can continue follow up whatever action plan we have put forward.
Are you thinking of doing pro bono cases for women?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah, we are doing it already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where time spent, time has already gone. So 30 seconds each, a peace message. Today is International Day of Peace. In just one sentence, not too many words. Starting with you, Adut.
I would just say we must ensure women representation in decision making for us to have a durable peace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Irene?
I just say women are peacemakers, peace ambassadors. So my call to women is to make peace start at home. And wherever they are, in offices, wherever they are, they should be peacemakers.
No, thank you very much. And Sarah?
Let us unite around issues that affecting us, we women. And tomorrow will provide opportunities for us all. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming, ladies, and happy International Day of Peace to you.
Thank you.
We'll definitely have these conversations more. Thank you for coming.
Inshallah.
Welcome.